We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in fourth and final quarter of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here. This segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. A special deal I want to bring to your attention. It runs through the end of June. You have that much time to take advantage. The first 2 weeks of the Penn State football season, Idaho in the season opener, Buffalo in the second game of the year. GoPSURV.com is offering buy one RV for the weekend, get a second one for free for the same game. So you get double the friends, double the family, double the fun. You also get a 409 Tailgate Club meal for free for every member of your party. Like I said, the deal runs through the end of June. Great for Father's Day. You can call Mark directly, 1-800-519-8467, or you can log on to GoPSURV.com to learn more about this special offer. You got a little time to mull it over, but not too much time. It's never too early to make plans, especially when it comes to tailgating for the Penn State football season for Idaho and Buffalo. GoPSURV.com. We are continuing our player profile series now. We're about midway through looking at every player on the roster, just assessing where things stand with them in 2019, what the odds are that they will make an impact. Also looking back on how they got to this point in their career. So the three players today, it's a very interesting group, actually. Jonathan Sutherland, Aeneas Hawkins, Jason Owe. So we're working our way down through numerically. That's number 26, 27, and 28. So we'll start, Greg, with Jonathan Sutherland, who, you know, he's a player in an interesting position because you can assume Garrett Taylor is one starting safety. You are anticipating that Lamont Wade will play a big role. So you're not quite sure the extent to which Jonathan Sutherland will be involved in the defense, but I expect my personal expectation is that you're going to see a lot of him. I don't know how that's going to unfold. I don't know whether him and Lamont Wade are more or less one and two and 2A, I guess you could say. Where does Jaquan Brisker fit in? How does that four-man rotation, assuming we know what the four guys are, how does that all work out? There's still a lot of questions at the safety spot, but I think a good group of potential solutions to that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the one thing that makes this 2019 Penn State team so fascinating, and I think Athlon Sports kind of hit it right on the head with their top 25 rankings that came out this week, and they had Penn State number 14. But if you read the little write-up that accompanies that ranking, there's every, you know, response has an action in the sense that, you know, every time they say, well, you know, so-and-so left, but so-and-so could replace them and, you know, kind of match that production, whatever. And there's so many things we just don't know about this team. We have an idea and we have some guesses, but we just don't know a lot about many of the players on this roster, what they're actually capable of once the pads come on and they're playing, Big Ten conference opponents and things of that nature. So, safety's got a good position. That is everything. You know, we've seen Lamont Wade in action, but do we know what he's capable of if he's going to start every game? Same with Jonathan Sutherland, you know. I guess I was a little bit taken aback by how little we felt like we heard about Sutherland during spring practice. I just thought we'd hear more about what he's capable of, and we really never did.
Yeah, that's always an interesting thing because, you know, Lamont Wade, obviously it's fragile, I think you use the word there. So I'm not sure if you're going to go overboard and praise Jonathan Sutherland at the expense of Lamont Wade and vice versa. I think you want both of these guys with their head in the game because you're going to need them both. I think there's going to be situations where maybe you can get all three of these guys on the field. Looking at Sutherland, Taylor, Lamont Wade, maybe Jaquan Brisker, maybe you get a little creative. I think when you add up what Penn State's got at linebacker and what they've got at safety, I think collectively that group of positions, those five positions on the field, I'm not sure if Penn State has been stronger under James Franklin. It's been a while since they've been that strong because there's been at least one looming question at either safety and or linebacker every year to this point. Now they've got their linebacker rotation shored up. They've got their safety rotation. They're shoring that up. I know there's still some questions. You don't really know how good Lamont Wade can be. You don't know how good Jonathan Sutherland can be. You don't know how ready Jaquan Brisker can be. But you got a really good situation down the center of the field, and I think the defensive tackle rotation is coming along too. So you got some good things, I think, working down the center of the defense where you went into last season. That was the biggest question of all, is how Penn State would fare in the middle of the field. I think they're on their way to finding solutions at all those spots, every layer there.
Yeah, it's just a matter of who is it going to be, or is it going to be a mixture of guys? That's really the question, I think. That at running back and receiver and safety and defensive tackle and so on and so forth, maybe a couple other spots, who is going to be even offensive guard is in this conversation. Is it going to be one guy who steps up and receives the majority of the snaps, or are there going to be a lot of platoons across this team? To me, when you're platooning guys, it's a little bit of a concern, because I think you worry that, you know, you don't have one guy who is far and away the best to compete against the other team's best players. But at the same time, position like running back, it can really help you to take some wear and tear off of those guys and keep them fresh from quarter one to quarter four.
So here's what I think about the safeties. Lamont Wade has a chance to be the most dynamic of the group. I think Garrett Taylor probably has the most range of the group, and I was pleasantly surprised last year seeing the way that he was willing and able to get in there and fill gaps and play with the physical edge to him, because he's not the biggest safety in the world. He's a little taller, leaner type safety. I think Jonathan Sutherland is the best, most imposing physical presence of that group. He's the guy who looks to me the way he prefers to play the most like Marcus Allen, where he will play with reckless abandon. He will lay a heavy hit. And I think there's some value in that. I think maybe depending on how, if it's an obvious rundown, maybe Jonathan Sutherland is in the game. I think you might be able to kind of mix and match these guys, but I think Sutherland will definitely be involved. His role will grow. We just don't know yet how much it'll grow.
Yeah.
We're looking at Penn State's football roster in 2019, our player profile series, making our way down through. We just mentioned Jonathan Sutherland. Aeneas Hawkins is another guy that, you know, he's a redshirt freshman now, part of a group of three defensive tackles who came in the 2018 class. We saw PJ Mustafa play right away. We saw him hold his own, kind of like Yitor Gross Matos held his own as a true freshman defensive end. And you saw last year how Gross Matos really exploded as a true sophomore. We could see something similar unfold for PJ Mustafa, which hangs over Aeneas Hawkins. It hangs over Judge Culpepper. Both these guys have NFL bloodlines in their families, which I think is something that needs to be noted. Both had a little bit of progress that needed to be made in terms of how they came along physically. You saw Judge Culpepper come in really beefed up in that 290, 295 pound range, where he was listed as a recruit at around 265. Hawkins was also listed in that 260, 265 range. The one thing that I just remember about him looking back at his high school film, Greg, is hand speed seemed to be something that was pretty remarkable for him. So I don't think we should look over or gloss over either Hawkins or Culpepper. At least one of these guys should climb into that three deep, that six man rotation, and play some reps this season. But if it's not this season for Aeneas Hawkins, he will make an impact at some point in time.
Yeah, I always worry about guys who come into campus with an injury, though, and we know that he was hurt as a senior out at Moeller in Cincinnati, and I think that will have an impact on his development path. Maybe a guy that we initially thought could play in year two, now maybe it's not till year three, depending on what he was able to do last year. So I like him. I think he's a talented kid, very nice kid when you get to talk to him. And he is, you know, another one of those slimmer defensive tackles, but quick, and can really give opposing interior linemen a problem with how quickly he can get off the ball. So definitely keep an eye out for him. That third, I know we don't talk about third string battles much because there's usually no reason to, but that third string defensive tackle battle ought to be really good.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mentioned it a little earlier, just the defensive tackle rotation isn't exactly where you want it to be in terms of experience. this season. But I think you'll get to that point. It's gonna feel to me like linebacker does this year, where it feels like suddenly you've got depth and you've got experience and you've got talent, and it's all coming together at linebacker this year. I think that's the way defensive tackle is gonna feel next year, is that depth, talent, experience is gonna come together, and they're gonna be as strong there as they've been in a long time. You know, you're gonna look ahead, and you're going to lose Robert Windsor, but you're going to create opportunities for some of these guys a little further down the depth chart. I think they're going to be really good there, and it's not going to take that long to do it. Aeneas Hawkins, it is a situation, though, where we talked earlier this week about DJ Brown and the cornerback depth chart.
Right.
There's always these crossroads type situations for guys who might take a little longer to develop, or there's key moments in time for guys in their careers where it's time to make a move. And if you don't make a move in that moment, then what? You know, as you're building depth at defensive tackle, some of these moments are going to come for some of these guys. And it's early to say when Aeneas Hawkins' moment will come, but he's going to be a guy who's going to have to keep fighting for spots on that depth chart as long as they keep recruiting guys like Devon Ellis.
And that's really what it comes down to for so many guys across the board here. And that's why, you know, you can panic about NCAA transfer portal entries and all this stuff, but guess what? If you're going to take 25 guys a year, it's 5-10% of them aren't going to turn out to be the player you thought they could be or the contributor you thought they could be, and they might look to play elsewhere, even if it's at a lower level, because that might give them the chance to get on the field sooner. And at the end of the day, that's what a lot of guys want. Even if they have to drop a level or two to get on the field, they just want to play. And it can be very hard to go from the big man at your high school to a guy who's down on the depth chart in college. And if you don't think you can change that at the school you're at, then maybe you look elsewhere to do that.
One more guy to go in our player profile series, Jason Owe, who, to me, one of the most exciting players on the roster. Could be, you don't want to call him a sleeper because everybody kind of knows who he is, but that defensive end rotation is good enough that if Jason Owe were to not crack it, that Penn State would still be okay. But I just don't think there's any substitute at all for the way that he can, the burst that he has at the size that he has it. I don't know if I believe that he ran, a sub 4.4 40. I don't know if I believe that.
Right.
But the quickness is for real. And the only player who might be in that same conversation with him is Shaka Toney. But Jason Oway's probably got, 15 pounds on Shaka Toney.
I would think so, yeah.
And he's also a couple years behind in development. There's a lot of excitement for good reason about Jason Owe in 2019 and beyond.
Yeah, I guess the only question I have is, where is he at? I know he looks good with the weight, but does the weight, the speed, and the technique all go hand in hand? And what I mean by that, sometimes guys bulk up and it makes them a little bit slower. I don't think that's the case with Owe, but you need to have the mental speed and the physical speed, not just with your legs, but with your hands and with your recognition of what's going on and everything else. Where is he at on that sliding scale? If he's closer to the more complete side of it, you're going to see a lot of him. If not, he might be more of a rotational guy again this year.
Sometimes quick twitch will get you where you want to go, though. So we'll see. We're wrapping up here on this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Download the Keystone Sports app, and we'll see you next time.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.